He said, all those that thirst, come unto me and get the water provided up there. Good morning. Oh, the Lord is so good. He's so good. I got a freebie. I'll just start with a freebie. This is not my message at all. Did you know people, wow, that's odd sounding, isn't it? People in the know tell us that words are vibrations. They make a wave through the atmosphere, a vibration. They have written that down, so I read it, and I said, okay, words are a vibration. And then I read Genesis, where it said that God said, he spoke a word, and it vibrated into the atmosphere, and light was. Yeah. He spoke a word, and it vibrated. It affected the atmosphere. It affected everything around it, and there was living creatures. He spoke a word, and it penetrated into what seemed to be nothing, and it vibrated. And a man was made to have dominion on this earth. And that man was given the privilege to speak words whereby they can vibrate into his atmosphere and change his situation. Because the word is still making things happen. Because it vibrates. So whatever you face, I was sitting there, and this word came to me. For some of us in here, it seems as though there is a veil, or there is a wall, or there is something that seems to hinder us and block us. The Lord says, speak words at it. And those words will vibrate and penetrate it and destroy it, and you will have your answer. That was free. Now this is going to cost you. Oh, no, just kidding. Hallelujah. The Lord is grandiose. He is magnificent. He is awesome. Whew, man, I like God. Let's pray, and then we're going to get into this here. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, and we do so humbly. Because it is in you we find our answers. We hear words that will change and redirect our lives, that would cause us to rise up out of what we're into what you have for us. Yes, Lord, we've come to hear you. We give our ears to you. We say our heart is like a goblet, ready for the wine of the Spirit to be poured in. Intoxicate us with your love, your kindness. Help us. We yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. It is an intimate thing of the highest and deepest quality when we yield to God. Whether it's in this sanctuary or in your home or at work, on vacation, there's an intimacy that we can enjoy when we yield to God. And He is so wonderful. He's a ready lover. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, before I forget, I have a shameless plug. Again, this year, Rick Teal and I, we're going to Africa in November. And if you want to know anything about that, just ask me or Rick, wherever you are. I don't know. Now he's sitting over there. Look, over there. Make up your mind where you're going to set your status quo, brother. Pew hopper. We've heard all about those hoppers. But if you have any questions, what's going to happen, what we're going to do there, or you want to pray for us or get involved, see Rick or myself. There you go. Advertisement done. Well, but you don't know what day this is, she said, as her husband was headed out the door for work. Her husband was perplexed, but he's a quick thinker. Of course I do. I know exactly what day it is. And poof, he took off for work. At 10 o'clock in the morning, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery man with a dozen long-stem red roses. Wow, that was so nice. She just took it in. And then around 1 p.m., there comes, right, by UPS, of course, a box, a 2-pound box of her favorite chocolates. And right behind that, through FedEx, was a new pretty dress. When the husband got home, he was pretty smug, satisfied that he recovered himself quite nicely. Probably looking for some kisses or something, you know. Not that we need anything like that, do we, husbands? When we do good and we love our wife. Nah, it's unconditional. His wife indeed was surprised. First the flowers, then the chocolate, then the dress, she exclaimed. I've never had more of a wonderful Groundhog Day in my life. Oh my gosh. I'll drink to that. Well, I'm not sure how that connects to today's message, which is entitled, What Does a Doer of the Word Look Like? Now, you guys are going to have to help me preach this, okay? It seems, I told my wife, wow, it seems so long. So that means you've got to, by faith, draw and pull and encourage me, okay? First of all, let's kind of see what a doer looks like by according to James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 25 says this, a doer of the work, that one will be blessed. So, a doer, that's important. So it is the doers that receive the blessing of God. A good example of doers is my son. If you ever drive with him, you either say to yourself, I'm never getting a car with him again, or you'll say, man, he's a doer. Because when he gets into traffic, he hits the blinker. I don't care if the space is like that, he's getting over. He's getting over there to the fast lane, and the metal is down, and he's gone. He's a doer. Action. Or, you know, I like guys. I sometimes get to run a crew, and it's great to come across the doer at work. These are guys that come to work. They're ready. They don't show up. Work starts at 7. They don't show up at 6:59 and 59 seconds. No, they're there like 10 minutes early saying, all right, let's get it. What are we doing today? Where are we going? What are we getting done? Is there something I got to put in the truck? That's a doer. Of course, at church, you know, a doer looks like a person that gets involved, that puts his hand to the plow, if you will. And of course, in your marriage, if you're a husband, you're a doer, you're available for all the kisses and the lovings you can get. Because you're a doer. Hallelujah. Two things I love. Well, three things. I know, huh? I'm going to go way down here and someone's going to have to pull me out. Remember, you're supposed to help me with this. Of course, I love God and I love preaching the gospel and I love my wife. Can't change that order. Hallelujah. Well, I would change preaching the gospel for loving her from time to time because she's sweet. Hebrews 11, 6 says this, sex. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without loving and kisses, it's impossible to please your husband. That's my Hebrews 11 sex. Well, I've still got that young, newlywed, thing going, because we've only been married for 41 years. This is all new to me still. This is fresh still. And I'm sorry. Not really. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And James says in chapter 2, 26, faith without works is dead. We must be doers of what we believe, not hearers only, to live in the fullness of God's blessing. Amen. So we see the importance of being a doer. A doer. To see what a doer looks like, first, I want to see what a doer doesn't look like, and then we'll be able to see what a doer is. I don't know what that's called. I'm sure there's a term for it in speaking when you do it the reverse, but negative to a positive, I guess. But open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, and that'll be kind of where we're going to have a text or some kind of starting place. I was like this last Sunday at a church I spoke at. I was thinking I'm cool and calm. And I asked myself, does it really visibly show that I'm shaking? Because I feel like I am. And the week before that, to the whole giant congregation of 6 or 7 people in Wenatchee, I felt the same way. This is business of God. And I'm turned on for it. I don't care who's here and who's not. You find Luke chapter 5? Well, thumb on right down to verse 17. And I'll read. And y'all pray for me that I do good. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. As it is right now. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, that is Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, that means he picked it up in the spirit. They were thinking, they were reasoning inside themselves. He answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise, up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." We also find the same story over in 2 other Gospels, Matthew and Mark. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics because they kind of parallel each other. They have pretty much all the same stories. John is sort of the oddball out there, but he approaches the life of Jesus in a total different way. So we see the same story recorded in Matthew 9, 1 through 8, and Mark 2, 1 through 12. Matthew's count is shorter of the three. I'll be going back and forth between Luke and Mark's account with a pinch of Matthew just for extra flavor. There were all kinds of people in that crowded house. Matthew said it was a multitude, which means a large crowd. Mark said many, which means a great number. Luke said a multitude, a throng. That's a lot of people. This describes a house so jam-packed with people that they spilled out into the streets. Now, let me give you a picture of that. I'm in Pastor Jerome's church. You know Pastor Jerome, and some of you others know Pastor Jerome. I'm in his church, and we're ministering, and I'm preaching on the being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. His church is probably as big as this right here, from where I'm standing to where Rick's sitting. That's probably it, maybe a little, no, about right here. That church is packed. When I say packed, they're standing along the wall too deep. Every seat is taken. They're standing up around on the platform. And then outside, you see through the windows, which are all along, there's people two, three deep looking in. And then you look out through the front door, and they're around the front of the church, like in a big horseshoe, big half circle, trying to look in the door as we're preaching. That's what's happening at this house. It is just full of people, and people are spilling out, are all jammed up to the door. And this is the kind of situation these four men are bringing their friend to get healing, because the power of God was present to heal them. Therefore, the only way the four men could get their paralyzed friend in to see Jesus was to climb up on the roof, break through, lower him down right in front of the healer. As I was working, and I put this next phrase on purpose, as I was working, not as I was praying, the Lord said to me. Why did I want to emphasize that? Because God will speak to you anywhere, everywhere, all the time, if we're listening. And then I went to prayer, seeking him about what he said, and I'm going to tell you, then he began to open this up to me. He said this, as I was working, not praying, the Spirit said to me, there are four types of people in the house. Number one, there's the pew sitter. Now, this is a multitude. It's a large crowd. There's all kinds of different people. Four types. The pew sitter. The reasoning ones. The amazed ones. And the doers. Man, the doers. Whew, should just go right there. Those boys broke through the roof. They got in the house. But let's go ahead and break it down. These first three will be our example of what a doer is not. That was pretty obvious, wasn't it? But that's okay. The last, if for some reason, and believe me, what is this thing? I'm pointing like this. These three are pointing back at me. For if some reason you locate yourself in one of these three, just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit do His work, okay? Let me say this about our pool of people that were in that house. They were of every kind of walk of life. Every kind. The first ones were the pew sitters. These are satisfied with their place in life. It doesn't mean they're bad or ugly or sinners. They're satisfied with their place in life. When I take personality tests, they always come up, I'm a status quo guy. That means I can easily be a pew sitter. I'm satisfied. You could give me some tasks, let me do some things. Status quo. I know where I'm supposed to be on Sunday. I'm supposed to be here. I'm a pew sitter. They have low ambition. I'm talking about you guys, you know that. They have low ambition, no expectations. Here's the one. They are happy with the way things are, and God forbid if it should be ever changed. They are masters at the use of excuses. My wife said something to me the other day. She said, you know what our problem is? Of course, I acknowledge her because I'm kind, but I know she don't mean our problem. Usually when someone's kind of telling, you know, their secret heart, it's about them. You just got to know that. She said, you know what our problem is? We're satisfied with just sitting here on the couch. We're satisfied with taking whatever medicines we take. It's okay. We've accepted it. We've learned to deal with that pain, whether it is actually physical pain, emotional pain, or whatever pain. We've learned to... hopefully it ain't your husband that's the pain, but you learn to deal with it. You are satisfied with your situation. Then if someone comes in and says, hey, want a little... I've been coming here for 37 years. Well, actually, 36.
36 years, what do you mean?
Masters at excuses. There are good things about pew sitters and about the three that are not doers. It includes them. Most likely, they're tithers, givers, and attenders. You know, hey, praise you pew sitters. Because you do give. And you do tithe. And you do come. It'd be miserable to get up here, wouldn't it, John? And there's like two people out there. But we still would get up. That I know. So, you know, I'm not trying to bash you. I'm just trying to locate you. You. I'm gonna start pointing like this. You, there you go. That it ain't coming back to me. Look at the pew sitter here. They're good about coming. Mark 2:2 says, immediately many gathered together. When you hear, hey, church, it's Sunday, you come, you meet, you come. Hebrews 6:12 says that we shouldn't become sluggish, though. Just because you come every day, or every time the doors open, some people come all services, every function. But I'm sluggish. Did I do it okay then? I didn't point my finger at you. I'm still sluggish. I'm still sitting. My wife usually sits on the love seat, and I sit actually in a chair, you know, with a man chair, big man chair thing. And we're satisfied. We come to the functions. We come to church. We're sluggish. Revelations 3:15 says, I know your works. Ooh. You mean God sees that? That you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. Either one, come on. Hebrews 12:12 and the Message Bible says this. I love this. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet, pew sitter. This is what a doer doesn't look like. I didn't say these were ugly people, unholy people, probably good people, teaching their kids, read your Bible. What's your scripture today, honey? Come to church. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. No more pew sitting. Let's press into the kingdom of God. The second one, I got a lot, so I'm going to march right along. The second one here, the reasoning ones. This is really going to talk about me. But overlook that. These are the ones who are always analyzing everything. I talked about Africa. That's another plug. I was with Rick and his wife. And here I was analyzing everything, wasn't I? And Rick says, what? Let's just go. A doer. Analyze everything. They too often rely on their own intellect and strength. I'm talking about me now. Let you in a little bit on... I said this once, probably years ago now. Oh, it doesn't matter if God provides. I know how to work and make money. Did you hear that? That's like saying, I don't need my wife. I know how to make the bed. Not really. One will kill you. One will forgive you. Own intellect and strength. I can only work because He gives me the strength to do so. Let's keep going. If what they are, these are the reasoning ones, if what they are seeing doesn't match their experience, our preconceived ideas, they discount it. They love form and order. They can be very religious. This is really good. They question more than they seek for answers. I mean, when they're asking questions, they're not really seeking an answer. They're really answering questions to hear what they already know and hoping you will agree with them, not give them an answer. They've already reasoned it out, and their question is just to prove, yes, I'm right. The reasoning ones. Their disappointments and hurts caused by people, faith, and life keep them in the sense realm, missing out on the supernatural. I got some things here. Luke 5, 21 and 22. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Verse 22, Jesus said, why are you reasoning in your heart? The reasoning ones. Luke 5, 26. We have seen strange things today. That's a really cool word, strange. It means to contrary to expectations and reason. Because they couldn't reason it. They couldn't bring it to reason. They said, this is strange. What in the wide world? Your sins are forgiven? Who's he? You know, I went to catechism. Your sins are only forgiven by the Father. Mark 7, 8 says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men. This is what has happened to the manifestations and operations of the Holy Spirit. Men, through their traditions, have said that is passed away. Why? Because it does not match their experience. Therefore, they reasoned it away. The reasoning ones. Not only could Jesus not forgive sins, but surely He ain't healing nobody. Jesus said, bala boom, bada bing, yes I am. And He did it. And it blew their minds. Mark 8, 4, then His disciples answered Him, how can one satisfy these with bread here in the wilderness? You see, analyzing. That's when He was feeding the 4,000. Here in John 6, it's the 5,000. Philip. Now, he's the guy full of reason, calculating, analyzing. He said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone should even have a little bit. The reasoning ones. Jesus said, have them sit down. Give me that fish. Give me that bread. And He called on something beyond reason. He called on something beyond intellect and what we may know or what we've experienced. And bam, the supernatural happened. And the loaves and the fishes multiplied and everybody was stuffed. And they took up 12 baskets. Matthew 6, 16, 17. And they reasoned among themselves saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Luke 1:18, and Zacchaeus said, remember I told you they have questions, but they're not looking for an answer? Zacchaeus said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is full or well advanced in years. He was a master of excuses. He didn't want the angel to answer. And the angel knew he was without faith and said, hey, I'm going to stop your words from vibrating in this situation because God's word is alive and it's going to change, and your wife Elizabeth will have a baby when you shut up, man. I'm not just talking about babies. Men, listen to me. If you want to produce something in your marriage and your family, maybe you should shut up and get the word of God in your mouth to break through your life and overcome your barriers and come out as a man of God, and then you'll see things change. You'll see things happen. It works. I know one of my pastors said to me, he was praying and the Lord said, no, your wife's perfect. You're messed up. I want to say, no, Lord, it's the wife you gave me. Now, the first one, the pew sitter, kind of the way out is to press into the kingdom, right? Get this, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, the way out of reasoning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let me say this. When we are not trusting in the Lord, and when we are leaning to our own understanding and acknowledge and not acknowledging Him, we are in evil. Did I mess that scripture up somehow? Is that not in there? Okay, let's move to the next thing. This is just what doers are not. Is it okay? I'm not badgering you too bad, am I? Good, because I'm still going to keep going. Here's some fine fellas. Number three, the amazed ones. The amazed ones. You're going to like this. These are the first ones to praise God, but the last ones to act on His word. They are quick to recognize someone else doing good deeds. Here's a good one for you about the amazed one. They will exaggerate their problems to justify or accommodate their fears. They are always chasing the next meeting or convention. They are signs and wonder seekers. You know, Jesus, well, I think I have it here, so we'll come across it. Luke chapter 5, verse 26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. The word amazed means to be displacement of the mind. That's weird. That means they were so amazed, they couldn't comprehend it. It took them out of their thinking. And so all they could be was astonished. Nothing else, nothing more. Nothing happened. Nothing changed in their life. You know, I like worship. And sometimes I get tidbits from the Lord. And He told me, this is about me. He said, the most carnal Christian, just think it, you may know one, the most carnal Christian you may know loves to worship. And he said that to me, and I thought, why? Because when they worship me, I'm no respecter of persons, and I come in my presence, and they feel it, and then they justify their carnality. Because they still can feel me. They're amazed. full of fear, displaced in their thinking. But they're shouting and jumping, rolling under the pew. Mark 6:2 says, "And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished," same word, "saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands?'" See, they recognize other people. Yeah, wow, they did such a great job. Wow, this is cool. Look at that, a miracle. Luke 8:49. "While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him," this is part of the amazed people, "'Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher.'" Because see, they're full of fear. As long as these people who are astonished and amazed at the miracles, as long as they're happening, they're okay. But when they go away and they have to walk on the word by faith, all of a sudden, don't bother the teacher. The daughter is dead. The business is dead. Your son's dead. Your daughter's dead. Your dog's dead. Dishwasher's dead. But they'll come to church on Sunday. Anyway, let's keep going. 1 Samuel 17:24-25. "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," that's Goliath, "fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel.'" What was our verse there in Luke 5:26? It says they were amazed, they were afraid, and they saw strange things. This is not a doer. You're not supposed to get mad at me, right? And you're really kind of quiet. May I come up with another joke? I do have some more. My wife said, "No, don't tell that one." So, okay, how about this one? "No, don't tell that one." I said, "Oh, how about this one?" "Don't tell that one." Okay. I know. So, Jesus said to these amazed ones, John 4:48, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe.'" These amazed people, they got to have that constant diet of signs and wonders. That's why they're always looking and going to conventions and, you know, chasing this next thing and this move and that move. Instead of, I like what they asked Brother Hagin once. He said, "What are you going to do?" He said, "Well, when the move of God is done, I'm still going to be here because I'm standing on the word, not on the move of God." I'm not being amazed. Don't misunderstand me. The move of God is awesome. And when he's doing external things in our life, things that are of this sphere right here, and we're getting healed, and we're seeing finances, and we're seeing children come home, we're seeing all that, that's amazing. But that is not going to carry you to where you need to go. You got to get a hold of the word and be a doer. And when you become that, you're going to have some great times in the pew. You're going to have a reasoning faculty that will be just. And you will be amazed because God will be working. The last one, the doers. These doers come from every kind of walk in life. I want you to locate yourself here. Every kind of walk of life. There is no exception. Every kind of person, no matter where they are, what they're in, what's in them, what's on them, what they're on, what they're doing, they can become doers and walk in the blessing of God. These doers come from every walk in life, located right near you to the most remote places of the earth. They're doers. They are educated and uneducated. Some are smart as a physicist. Some are as dumb as a stump. But that makes no difference, because the Bible said, Peter said in Acts 10, all those that seek God, God does not put any kind of little box and say, no, you got to come this way, that way. Nope, you come to me, boom, I'm going to help you. Yeah. Oh, you don't know the scriptures? Sorry. Oh, you're a scholar with doctor, lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Come on in. No, no, no. They're educated and uneducated. They are rich, poor, and everything in between. Yes. You know, I already said it once. I don't need to worry. God don't meet my needs. I'll go to work. I know how to use these hands and make money. Don't let the rich say, I have no need of God. And don't let the poor say, God just, he's not looking on me or nothing. Blessed are the poor. Jesus said he came, though he was rich, to become poor. That we through him may actually get the true riches, which covers every area of your life, physical, mental, spiritual. And you learn and you figure out what order to put those in, you're going to be rich. You're going to be super blessed. They may have it all together, or not so much. Their questions, unlike the pew sitter, I think, is that who they were? The pew sitter? Their questions aren't looking for answers, right? Or was that the reasoning? But anyway, these questions, their questions are looking for real answers. When they ask the question, they really want to know what the truth is. They really want to know. They are willing to do the unreasonable, the unimaginable, and the unthinkable. Think about those four men with their buddy. They went up on the roof of somebody else's house. Just let's think now. Jesus is in your house or your apartment where you're, you know, hanging out. And all of a sudden, there's somebody on your roof with a fireman's axe crashing through your roof, lowering down this, who knows, paralyzed guy. Unthinkable. Unimaginable. What in the wide world? Unexpected. Unreasonable. Tear up my house. I'm going to kick you. Poof. You're headed to the gun cabinet. What are you doing? This is important. They are not perfect by any means. Oh, let me shout. Hallelujah. Finally, we found me. We found me. I'm not perfect by any means. They are honest with themselves. They have great endurance, these doers. He said, after you've endured and done the will of God, you receive the promise. They hang around other doers to help support them, even though Rick makes you mad. I mean, help to support you. And of course, the last attribute, if you will, of the doer, then we have some scriptures, and oh, look at my time, beautiful, is that they're humble. Yeah. I think when you think about humility, I don't know where your head goes, and there surely are definitions. We can find them. We can look up the Greek word, the Hebrew word, the Aramaic word, Chinese word. I don't know. You can look it up. But whatever it is the doorway into all God has. Now, I know, without faith, it's impossible. Please, God. I understand that. It said, have this mind that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he had great faith and he gave himself to be a servant. It doesn't say that. Oh, did you? You didn't know that? You thought I was quoting Philippians right on the hammer there, chapter 2? No. In fact, that translation is a little misleading. Actually, it says, who thought it not a possession to retain, to use his equality with God. But he laid it aside and he humbled himself. Have this mind that was in you. Have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You know what happens when you put yourself at the feet of Jesus? And I'm not talking about, well, you don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be. I'm telling you, get on your stinking knees. Put your face in the carpet or the dirt at the campground or on the trail, wherever you pray. Put your face on there and just say, God, I need you. Help me. Somewhere, I don't know how it works, faith comes alive because he begins to speak words to you. And how does faith come? Hearing the word. And by hearing the word and the scripture there is actually by hearing the anointed, the Christ word. What is that word? Everywhere you see the word in Christ, in him, in whom, he's talking about the Christ word. I can do all things in Christ. He meets all my needs in Christ. In Christ. Humility is where that takes place. Mark 6:56. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, and countries. Remember, the doer is from everywhere. They laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch the hem of his garment. Some of you wouldn't ask for nothing because you're so full of pride. It's okay. I know a person kind of intimately like that, so it's okay. He begged them that they may touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. No matter where they came from, they came out of the woodwork, they came from the village, they came from the marketplace, they... And you don't believe this. If they came from the whorehouse, the bar, the tavern, the racetrack, the casino, it doesn't matter where they come from. If they come to Jesus, he will heal them. He will help them. You can't even hardly speak any English after that. He's so good and so wonderful. Luke 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. This is the jefe, the patron. He's the boss of this synagogue. When he went somewhere, there was two or three assistants with him all the time. When he stood up to undo the scroll, everybody put their head down. This is Jairus. He's the ruler of this synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. A doer is humble. You know, Jairus in this is asking a question he wanted an answer to. 2 Kings 5:14. This is the story of Naaman, the leader of the army, I think, of Syria. And he had leprosy. And nobody in his land could help him. There was no intellect in his home that could help him. There was no reasoning in the fields of, you know, medicine or academics or you know, even the naturopath medicines. Nothing was helping Nehemiah. Then a little Jewish servant girl said, "Hey, there's this guy over where I'm from. He knows God." He knows God. And so, I guess she convinces him. So he goes with all pomp, all ceremony, gifts loaded, and goes and sees, help me, I get them mixed up, Elijah? It's Elisha, I believe. 2 Kings would be Elisha. And so he goes on his way to see him. And blah, 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 they talk. Elisha tells him what to do. And he says, you're full of camel, blah, blah. Camel, you know, camel snot. There we go. You're full of that, dude. You ever seen the Jordan River? Who was I just talking to? I was just talking to somebody. I think it was Rick and his wife. They said, and the Jordan River is nasty looking. It's muddy. It's dirty. It looks like the peel up when the snow's melting. You know, it's just nasty. And he says, have you ever seen the rivers in my country? They baby are crystal clean, looking nice. Why can't I dip in those? And then, on his way out, someone said to him, well, if he asks you to do something amazing, something astonishing, wouldn't you have done that? What's wrong with doing this? So he says, okay. He humbles himself. So he went down and dipped 7 times, as Elisha told him, in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. You know, something... Oh yeah, I'm going to take it. I don't care. There's something we miss in modern day Christianity, and that is the word that comes from a man of God. Because somehow in our culture, our society, especially, I don't mean to be picking on us, in America, we have lost all respect. I want to say of our elders, which is true, but of the man of God. And there's plenty of reasons for that, and reasons that are valid, and, you know, who would trust those charlatans, and so on and so on. You know all the stories, all the reasons. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can walk in a humility and respect what the man of God says to you, you can change your life. You can change your life on what he tells you. And I imagine I could come to Pastor Cook and ask him of the times he spent in counseling that people disrespected the word he gave them and their situation fell apart. And it was destroyed and came to nothing. But all they had to do is that one word. All Nehemiah had to do. Naaman, not Nehemiah. He's the guy that built the wall, right? Is do what the man of God said. So he did. And it says, his flesh was restored like a little child, and he was clean. He came in like a pew setter. He came there like he was full of reason, you know, pomp and ceremony. He came in with amazement, thinking, oh, this is the meeting. This is the convention. This is where I'm going to get it. This is what's going to happen. And could that work? Yes. But if you're coming in like Nahum here, he humbled himself and he did what the man of God said. We come to church and hear the pastor, our pastor, our precious, preach, 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 preach. I've been here for 36 years, and year 35, I finally said, oh, I'm going to do that. But he told me that 35 years ago. If I'd have just listened to the man of God 35 years ago, I'd be in a different place today. So here we go. Now, let's keep going. Mark 7:26. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. You can be a doer. I don't care where you're from. And I just heard, odd, I was listening to Ever Increasing Faith this morning, to Brother Price's son, and he brought this woman up. And I'm going to bring it up because he brought it up. He said this woman was a black woman. And he said, even black folk can get God to move in their life. And if you know anything about this, she was an outcast. She had no connection to the covenants, no connection to whatever Jesus was doing. In fact, Jesus said, I'm not giving what belongs to God's people to the dogs. And she stayed right there. She stayed right there and said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I understand. But I do know when the crumbs hit the floor, the dogs eat. And Jesus said, amen. For that saying. Now that is so odd to us. That is so weird to us. That's unthinkable. That's unreasonable. That's out of the box, Jesus said, because of that saying. Somewhere she connected. Somewhere she was being a doer. Go, your daughter is delivered from the demon. And the daughter was. Luke 1:34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I don't know a man? Mary was asking a question. She wanted an answer. When Zechariah asked it, he wasn't wanting the answer. He was wanting hearing the excuses why he can't produce a kid. Yeah, it's your wife, Elizabeth. That's what he wanted. Mary wanted the answer. And the angel said, no problem. The Holy Ghost is coming. And he's going to put in you the Word, the living Word, a Son whose name is Emmanuel. Mark 2:4. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd. Remember that house? It was packed to the rafters. People spilling out in the street. I imagine they might have been on the outside like that Pastor Jerome's church I told you about. Because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken through. Oh, man, somebody help me with this. When they have broken through, maybe you've been on the roof and you pounded on, I'm a doer, and you haven't broken through. Get back on the roof. Hit it again. You don't know how many times I've failed. What disappointment I've had in prayer. That is one of the major hindrances of your prayer. Dormant disappointment. When you go to pray about something, that disappointment comes up and you don't even pray because you've been disappointed. Go up on that roof again. Break through that roof. And they let down the paralytic and he was healed. Genesis 17:3. Then Abraham fell on his face and talked with God. We're back to the probably the most important attribute of a doer. It's called humility. Yep. Humility. As James said, a doer of the work, this one will be blessed. Now, we've seen what a doer is not. And we've seen what a doer is and what he does and what he's like. Which will you choose today? Which do you want to walk in today? It's not out of your reach. It's not out of your scope. It's not out of your skill set. It's not out of your educational level, no matter what you know or don't know. It's not none of that. It comes down to just doing what the Word said. And then when it doesn't seem to work or happen, you come back to it with the right question to find the right answer and do it again. And keep doing it and keep doing it until you break through and you're, if you will, lowered down into the presence of Jesus, where you find every blessing and every help, for He is the fountainhead of all that God is. It's Jesus. All of us are just a step away. All it takes is that one act of humble, honest faith in the face of all that is right or wrong with us, or how small or how great the situations we are dealing with. It's never what it looks like, how we feel, or what others are telling us. Pastor Cook said it when he was giving announcements. It's not about how you feel, even though it feels as real as if you grabbed onto a live electric wire. As one fellow shouted, let go, let go. And it doesn't matter how overwhelming the situation is, we have an advantage because we are children of God. His Spirit lives on the inside of us. And the blood of Jesus has made available all the blessings of God. And we have the Word of the living God that backs it up. What does a doer look like? It looks like you and me. We are them. We're doers. We're doers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we'll just stand and we'll have some prayer. Make an invitation. That's all good, right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Magnify Him a little bit. Go ahead. Break through all your fears right now and say, I'm a doer. I am a doer. I'm not a pew sitter. I don't reason it away. And I'm not displaced in my thinking. I'm a doer. I'm a doer, 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 doer. Thank you, Lord, I'm a doer. Thank you, Lord, I'm a doer. Hallelujah. Well, I first want to invite anybody that hasn't received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the first step of a doer. That will take every bit of humility that you can muster. Because I'm not asking you to hide back there in the pew amongst people. I'm asking you, come on, come forward. We have people that will talk with you and lead you to receiving Jesus Christ. Be a doer. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, today is the day to get it done. And of course, second, this really is the call to Christians. If you're struggling and you still can't get it together and you're fighting issues, keep stumbling, come on. The altars are for prayer. You can get some prayer. And then the last thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's kind of weird. This, what I'm doing here is rote. Status quo. This is what they do in churches all over America and all over the world. I've been in some all over the world. They give an invitation for people to respond, to move on what touched their heart. And it's not rote. It's not a status quo. It's not common. It's not a little thing. This is a big thing. So if you need Jesus, it's a big thing. You need to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm getting fresh. Or you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. Oh, hallelujah. That is such a wonderful thing. And if you fit any of that, I want you to come. And then, of course, if you want hands laid on you for praying, I'm going to have my friend Rick come on up here and help me with this. And so if you want hands laid on you for prayer, come on. And then a couple things while I'm thinking about it. And I'm going to do it anyway because I want to pray for you. You're looking right at me. Come on. Come on. Yeah, you. Come on. I'm not done picking on you. I don't know why, but the Lord Caleb, He has a spot in my heart for that renegade. You know, one day that young man will break every rule. He will come through every controlling thing in his life. And he will walk with the giants. I like you, man. So you just wait here. Now, if anybody's experienced any kind of pain in their body, I want to pray for them. Yeah, pain. Let me pray for you, lay hands on you. And Rick, just don't be a bump on the log. You have something, say it, and I can repeat it because I have the amplification. All right. And I guess if I'm going to lay hands on people, I also will just open this. I wouldn't say, you know, the Spirit is leading me here, but this is something I've done many times. I believe by the laying on of hands, God imparts to you what you need. It can be something that carries you through a hard time. It can be something that gives you wisdom for the moment. It can give you healing power, miracle working strength, give you understanding, insight. The laying on of hands ministers the anointing. So if you want the anointing ministered to you, this is the place. This is the time. Be a doer. Step out and be a doer. Some of you think, oh, I've been that line, I've been there, and I've been that. Well, think about those four guys and the guy that is paralyzed on the bed. If they would have said, well, can't get in, man, let's go. I think if I'm on the bed, I'm going to yell out, hey, idiots, you just brought me 300 miles, you know, or whatever it was. And that day, 5 miles would have been a journey because they walked. So if you can't make 20 feet, I'm going to quote Proverbs. If in the time of trouble you fail, your strength is weak. That's Proverbs. Okay, we're ready. So what I will do, I will dismiss the rest of you, but really, can you exit quietly and go ahead? Some may have to get their kids or whatever the deal is, but... Wow, he figured that out. I didn't know where you were going to start. Are we ready? And the rest, if you're going to stay, pray. Honestly, pray. Say, Lord, touch them. Lord, anoint them. Lord, fill them. Lord, give them what they're looking for. He has answers for us. He is not leaving us in the dark. That's why He's called the light of the world. You're in the dark about something. You need to go to the light.